As we get started this morning, I have some handouts. Oh, I'm not going to do them all. Don't worry. You guys are going to do the work. I'm not sure how many I printed or if there's enough for everybody. So if those of you who are good sharers can share one. Yeah, you can figure them out. Figure it out. This is not a test, I promise. I may or may not refer to the pieces of art that you see, but there's so much good art for this time of year, for the nativity, plus our youth are in here today, and now you have something that will engage you, right? Thank you, Dan. All right. I am not a big fan of interruptions. And there are exceptions, of course. Yesterday, literally after I wrote that first sentence, Bradley came into the office to pick up the music. And that was a great interruption. I want you to know, Bradley, I was glad to be interrupted by you. It was just kind of funny. Often in my life, I am not such a fan. In my house, I get interrupted a lot. Somebody needs something, or the kids are fighting, or the dog is barking, or the phone, or the doorbell, et cetera, et cetera. Night and day, day and night, day after day. Sometimes I dream of just a few uninterrupted hours. And then I hear in the background, "Mommy." That is life. Life is full of interruptions. Good ones, a child, a phone call from a friend, an unexpected opportunity, and many bad ones. A death, a pandemic, a diagnosis, traffic, sickness at the worst possible time. Life is full of interruptions, big and small. Well, the story of Christmas is also full of interruptions. There's a barren couple interrupted by a miracle child in their old age. A young girl interrupted by a visit from an angel. A righteous man's plans interrupted by an unplanned pregnancy. Shepherds interrupted in fields. Angels interrupting everything. Animals interrupted by a baby in their salad bowl. It seems in the stories of the Christmas season, God is the master interrupter. What's that about? This morning, I'd like to explore a few of the stories of Christmas that we haven't gotten in our Sunday scriptures this year. As we ponder together, what do we make of God's interruptions in the lives of these characters and in ours? So first up, Simeon and Anna. You have a representation of a painting by Rembrandt on your paper. Now, their story starts with business as usual in Luke 2. The Holy Family has done what every normal, pious Jewish family did. They traveled to Jerusalem with their newly born, firstborn son to present him in the temple according to the law. According to the law, according to the law, according to the law. This is normal business. Simeon's presence is a normal event too. Luke tells us Simeon is righteous and devout. Presumably, he would have joined for temple worship more often than not. Nothing unusual about him being there. But on this day, there's a divine interruption. Simeon has been led by the Holy Spirit into the temple. And Luke tells us the Holy Spirit has helped him wait and look for the redemption of Israel. He's been searching for the Messiah. The Holy Spirit has told Simeon he would see this redemption before he died. And so Simeon does not experience the prompting of the Spirit as an interruption, but as consistent with the way he's already led his life. He simply follows the Spirit's lead. And there, in the temple, Simeon becomes the divine interruption of this family's normal presentation ritual. He is the word from God they do not expect. You can kind of see it on Mary's face in that painting, the like wide eyes, like, what? This is not business as usual. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms. It's his own sort of interruption. If you've had a newborn baby, who are you? He proclaims one of my favorite songs in Scripture. It's a big part of the Compline and evening prayer services in the Anglican Church. It's called the Nunc Dimittis, if you want to know the Latin for it. Who doesn't? And it goes like this: Lord, now you've set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen your salvation, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. For Simeon, Jesus is not an interruption, but the fulfillment of all that God has promised to him and to Israel. Not an interruption, but at last, he's here. And the same thing is true for Anna. Look at the expression on her face in this painting. Just like, we don't know Simeon's age, although we usually think of him as elderly, because he says, okay, now I can die in peace. But we know that Anna is old, 84, most of that time living as a widow who's made God's temple her home, worshiping in the temple day and night, night and day. Anna is also a prophet. And she's been devoting her attention and focus and longing on God's promises of redemption. We talked a little bit about this passage in Core at 9 this morning, this Simeon and Anna passage, and somebody pointed out, these guys have been awake and waiting, so they are ready. They are ready. So for Anna as well, Jesus is not an interruption. He's the answer, the fulfillment, the promise. And she, too, interrupts the young family in the temple with this song of praise. And she goes out and tells everyone she meets about the baby that has been born. Simeon and Anna teach us something about life's interruptions. They teach us the importance of cultivating attentive and expectant hearts. Hearts that are receptive to God's word, that know God's word, that are learning the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. We too have the Spirit in us, we who follow Jesus. Simeon and Anna are ready to embrace Jesus because they've been embracing the Holy Spirit for their whole lives. So as we too learn to discern and respond the movement of God in our everyday lives, day in and day out, through practices such as the prayer of examine, which I mentioned in our e-update this week, or spiritual friendship, or silence, or solitude, or even corporate worship, as we learn to discern God's movement in our everyday lives, we'll be more prepared to discern and embrace God when he interrupts our lives in ways we don't expect. Simeon and Anna teach us about cultivating attentive and expectant hearts. The Holy Family returns home, back to business as usual. Jesus grows. And sometime later, another Christmas interruption takes place. This one told in Matthew 2 and celebrated by Christians around the world tomorrow on the Feast of Epiphany. Here come the Magi. I've moved them closer. They're almost there. Almost there. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." This comes out of nowhere. Talk about an interruption. I think these are my favorite stories in the Christmas story, maybe yours too, because they're colorful and they're mysterious and they're unexpected, and I love singing We Three Kings. Their arrival in Jerusalem is an immediate interruption, especially for King Herod. They come to him, "Where's the King of the Jews?" He's like, I think it's me. What are you talking about? Luke tells us that on this news, Herod is greatly disturbed, shaken up, and all of Jerusalem with him. For King Herod, this is not a welcome interruption. This is a threat to his regime and to the stability of the region. So Herod responds to this divine interruption with attempts to control it and oppose it. He uses violence and manipulation and deceit. He co-opts the scriptures and the religious scholarship of the age. He cannot more strongly oppose himself to the interruption of Jesus in his world. But he does not find Jesus, not even to control him. Jesus eludes his attempts to control and destroy. In contrast with Herod, the Magi are curious. They are seekers. They're seeking knowledge and wisdom, reality, truth. I think they find Jesus not just through one dramatic interruption, but through following the threads of God's presence, They were gazers upon the natural world, stargazers, looking to the stars for wisdom. This is how they led their lives, and that is how God met them. Here is an unusual star. Will they notice it? Yes. We don't know how they discern, but they do, and they follow. And when natural revelation, the star, leads them to Herod, but not to Jesus, the scriptures lead them all the way to the one they seek. They find Jesus, and they worship. The Magi, their lives were interrupted too by the star. And they interrupt the lives of others in their quest to find Jesus. But when they find Jesus, he's no longer an interruption to them. He is what they've been searching for. And then their worship becomes the divine interruption. You can see this represented in the painting on your page. The various skin colors that the Magi are usually portrayed. This is a sign that the Messiah, contrary to popular expectation, is not just for Israel, but for all nations and peoples. Simeon's word, all nations, a light to enlighten all nations, has come true in the person, the people of the Magi. So the Magi and Herod, they teach us something about life's interruptions. They teach us that it makes a difference whether we respond to interruptions with control or curiosity. Now, not every interruption is from God. Some are rooted in evil. Herod's violent attempts to control interrupted many innocent lives. Not every interruption is divine. And yet, in every interruption, God is at work to lead us towards Jesus. God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. We are not on an impossible quest like Don Quixote. God reveals himself to us in so many ways, in nature, in scripture, in the sacraments, in one another, in our own heart of hearts. God wants us to know him. So like the Magi, when life interrupts us, we have an opportunity to stop and ask, God, where are you in this? What are you up to? And that is a question God delights to answer. When we respond to interruptions with control, it is understandable, but ultimately futile. When we respond with curiosity, step by step, God leads us closer to his presence and the presence of Jesus, our light and our life. The Magi and Herod teach us that it makes a difference whether we respond to interruptions with control or curiosity. Will the Magi return to the East? After that, who knows? Jesus grows. And that brings us to our final Christmas story for today, the story from Luke 2 that's in our gospel passage. And you have a representation of this on the back of your paper. As in the story of Simeon and Anna, this one starts with business as usual. It was their custom to go to Jerusalem for Passover. The Passover festival, tale as old as time. It was wonderful as always. They took the same path home with the same timing, with the same group of people. But then there is a dramatic interruption. Jesus is missing. And he's old enough to know better. You can imagine their minds running wild. Like, what must have happened? What must have happened to him that he's not here? I think every mom can recognize the combination of anger and relief in Mary's response when they find Jesus. Son, what were you thinking? We were out of our minds with worry. And Jesus' answer perplexes us. It perplexes me. Why were you searching? Didn't you know I would have to be here in my Father's house? Clearly we didn't. Could you at least apologize for your poor mother? This is an interruption. And it sticks in Mary's mind for years and years to come. I have to think that she told Luke this one. Here at the brink of manhood, right? 12 years old, 13, Jesus steps into manhood. Jesus' relationships with his earthly parents is shifting. This interruption, far from being just an interesting story or a side note in Luke, It is a moment of revelation of who Jesus is and why he came. It is a shift towards not my will, not even the will of my human father and mother, but only yours, O Lord, be done. And it is the forerunner of much heartache to come, for Mary in particular. I find it interesting in this painting how we don't really see Mary's face. She's turned away from us looking at Jesus, and that's how it is for the rest of his life on earth. There was more to Simeon's word to Mary about this long-awaited child. Simeon said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This child is the fulfillment of all God's promises and all that Israel has been waiting for. But this child is also an interruption. For those who, like Herod, oppose and control Jesus, seek to control, there will be woe instead of joy. And this divine interruption into Mary's life will bring her great joy, but also great gut-wrenching pain and sorrow. Mary does not yet know about the cross that will interrupt everything. Just as she spends 3 days in agony searching for middle school Jesus in Jerusalem, so will she spend 3 days in agony in between the cross and resurrection, where she does not know where he is. The shadow of the cross reaches back even here into Luke 2. And yet it is that very cross that will interrupt sin and death and evil and oppression once and for all. The cross that will bring the redemption about which Simeon and Anna and Mary sang so joyfully. But first, it will hurt. The story of Mary and Joseph seeking Jesus and finding him in the temple, it teaches us something about life's interruptions. It teaches us that divine interruptions can also be painful and scary, even gut-wrenching. Sometimes when God interrupts our life, it turns our world upside down, or it makes no sense to us. This incident made no sense to Mary at the time, but she kept pondering it. She kept thinking about it, seeking meaning in it. And one day, years later, she could talk to Luke and say, "Ah, he was giving me a glimpse of his mission even then. That interruption was giving me a sense of the kingdom of God breaking through, even though I couldn't see it at the time." And the same is often true for us. There are many interruptions in our lives that do not make sense to us at the time, or for many years to come, or before Jesus comes again. There are interruptions that hurt us or disorient us or turn our worlds upside down. As we too keep pondering, asking, seeking, following, knocking at the door of heaven, as we stay close to Jesus, at some point we will find Jesus even there in those things, because Jesus wants to be found. He is not far. He is with us. He wants to reveal himself to us, who he is, how he's at work, even just the fact that he's there with us. As we seek him, as we ponder, as we cry out to him in life's interruptions, God will lead us to where Jesus can be found. There is a Christmas story told in some parts of the world about a woman, a figure they call La Befana. As the story goes, the Magi traveled through her village on their way toward Jerusalem in search of the newborn king of Israel. And since La Befana was considered the best housekeeper in the village with the most pleasant home, she hosted the Magi in her home for the night. And in gratitude, they invite her to join them on their journey to find the baby Jesus. But she says, "No, I couldn't possibly. I am too busy with my housework." A few days after the Magi leave, La Befana regrets her decision deeply. And she goes in search of the Christ child, but she cannot find him. She spends the rest of her life searching in vain for the child she missed. This story gets something right, and it gets something wrong. What the story gets right is that divine interruptions present themselves to us all the time, in little ways and in big ways. And often we and I are so preoccupied with our own version of housework that we miss them and they pass us by. But what this story gets wrong is that those who earnestly search for Jesus will never fail to find him. Because God wants us to know him. That's why he interrupts our lives so much, in ways big and small. So as we enter this new year, and the season of Epiphany in particular, like Simeon and Anna, let us cultivate hearts that are attentive and expect God to show up in our lives. Like the Magi, let us surrender control and embrace curiosity and awe and worship. Like Mary, let us seek after Jesus and ponder even the things in our lives that are painful and confusing, wrestling with the Holy Spirit until God blesses us with his presence and power and love. And as we do, even imperfectly, the Holy Spirit will lead us to the presence of Jesus, even in the most unwelcome interruptions of our lives. And where Jesus is present is fullness of joy. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.